Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. After two long weeks in the Hawaiian Islands, we are so happy to be home, and we are still adjusting to the time limits. Patricia and I were up having deep conversation from 3 o'clock this morning all the way till waking up today. So we are definitely getting reintroduced to time here in Arkansas, but in any case, it is good to be back on the air. We do have a message to share, and we plan on doing that today. But we are trusting that you are doing well and that all things are working together for good concerning your life, that you are walking in the covenant promises made through the blood of Jesus Christ, ratified in his blood, and that you are standing strong in these turmoilous days. And we want to welcome you to this ministry that we believe is a lighthouse established by God, and that people that are lost in the darkness out there, those floating souls, if you will, that are looking for some understanding, some truth, some light, some wisdom, some direction, a refuge, place of safety. We hope that the light of Jesus Christ is being administered and that the souls of men are seeing their way into a more safe place in your life. And there's no physical structure on this earth that is going to save you. There is no physical building, no mountain tall enough, no cave deep enough that's going to protect you. I tell you today that the only true salvation is in your intimacy, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has reintroduced you to your heavenly Father, who has entrusted to us the Holy Spirit. And it is truly the Holy Spirit of God that is inside of us to direct us, to teach us, to comfort us, to empower us, to navigate us through the storms of life, not to keep us from them necessarily, but to enable us to go through them. And I tell you, the storms are getting more increased, and this is all over the world. Listen, even in the islands of Hawaii, in whether it is Maui or Kauai, there, while we were leaving the island this weekend, we left on Saturday, they were getting ready for their great gay pride parade, where, again, the homosexuals in that area of the world were ready to demonstrate and march and to celebrate their liberty as homosexuals, lesbians, and transvestites, et cetera, transgender people. And you just wonder, my God, you go to the islands of quote-unquote tranquility, and the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah is so evident, was there any place to go on this planet where there's wholesomeness? And within our own country, we wonder, where are those places of refuge? Where are those places that are upholding the presence of Jesus Christ? Where is that sweet, beautiful Holy Spirit? Well, we moved to Arkansas by the Holy Spirit. We were led here, and for the first number of years, we experienced what I would call Mayberry RFD. And I was looking for Andy Griffith every day in Opie because there was such a beautiful spirit. But since we've been here, we've been noticing the open doors to places of selling wine and beer, liquor stores. You know, now the vote for legalizing marijuana and opening the door to so many other things. And, you know, around the world, we live in this and it's just the way it is. And then you step away from the insanity of places in the world that this is all tolerated and accepted. And then you come into an environment where it's protected, but then the protection begins to leave. And there's an advocation to open the door to the very things that have destroyed other places around us. And this is kind of moving in the direction of what we need to talk about today. And that is, how sick are we as a nation? And I want to touch three different levels of sickness. You know, if you ever had a cold and you were sick, you know, nobody points a rigid finger at you and condemns you for being sick. You know, there's always the examination of, you know, how did I get here? Did I wear myself out, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get a cold and you get sick, produces into a greater sickness and everything starts heading south, so to speak, in your health, and it begins to become a rapid acceleration of issues, well, that becomes concerning. You wonder, what the heck is going on here? And you know when you're sick. And if the people in America, the citizens, the inhabitants of America, don't see the sickness of our nation yet, well, that only confirms the blindness and the darkness that has enveloped the minds of the masses once again. And if people that are in the church, and I'm quoting right now, the church, don't understand or recognize the sickness within the church, well, that only confirms that many in the last days will be deceived. And if there are individuals that don't recognize their own sickness, whether it is mental illness, whether it is emotional illness, whether it is relationship illness or financial illness or some other form of illness, well, that too is a affirmative that the darkness has descended upon the minds that people cannot recognize when they're sick. You know, when you're sick, do you know you're sick? And if you are mentally ill or mentally sick, do you know you're mentally sick? Well, when it gets to a point where you don't know it anymore and you keep, you know, thinking you're okay when you're not, well, that becomes an issue. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's better to know you're sick so that you could go to the physician and you could get some medicine and get the sickness dealt with. Or you could pray through it more accurately as born-again, spirit-filled Christians and go to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive your healing. But you have to know you're sick. And I just wonder if America knows how sick it is, if the church understands how sick it is, and if individuals understand how sick they are. Now, when a person or a nation, let's just center in for a moment on the United States of America. And if the American people would understand how sick they are, they would realize that they need a physician. And it's interesting that you turn on the evening news or the morning news, or you talk to people round about, you search out the internet, you go out there and you just talk to people, you recognize the commonality of voices that are saying, hey, we've got a problem here. Whether it's on the left or the right, people are beginning to acknowledge that they are sick. And that's a good thing. That is wonderful that people could say, hey, we're sick. Well, because they didn't know it, they didn't know how to fix it. And, you know, that's not a good thing. But here is a verse I want to share with you about America. Let's talk about America first, and we'll get into the church. Then we'll talk about individuals. In the book of Job, chapter 13, Job, if you know the story, he has a crisis going on in his life. He's lost his children. He's lost the farm. He's got health issues. Everything has gone downhill in a day, if you will. And his friends have come to console him. And he's got three friends, particularly, that are giving him all kinds of advice, telling him what his problem is. And in Job chapter 13, this is Job's response where he says in verse 1, "Lo, my eye has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God, but you are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value." And I would like you to undertone that, underline that, mark it out in your Bible, where Job tells his friends, or the people that are trying to fix him, or maybe the people that are trying to fix America today, that you are all forgers of lies and physicians of no value. Now, the word physicians there in the Hebrew is Rapha. And you know that God is called Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is the physician of all physicians. And yet he's saying to these friends of his that are trying to fix him in the midst of the crises that he's in, and how many of you would declare that America is in a crisis? America is in a crisis. America is sick, and I'm going to prove it in just a moment just in case people don't understand it. And so the Raphas, or the physicians, those that are called to mend, those that are called to put together and, you know, fix things, heal things, cure things, well, Job says, are of no value. And in the Hebrew, that simply means they're good for nothing. And Job was actually telling his friends, your advice, your words are empty words. You have nothing but vanity. You are physicians good for nothing. You're not real physicians. You have no power to fix. And when you think about it, you go to Mark chapter 5, verse 26, which I want to just peek at quickly, and then Luke chapter 8. Maybe I'll start backwards. I'm already in Luke. So in Luke chapter 8, we know the story about a woman who was very, very sick and had spent everything she had on physicians. And listen to what it says in verse 43 about this woman in Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched or ceased. So here's a woman that went and spent everything she had upon the physicians of no value, that were good for nothing. And her story is told again in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, beginning in verse 26. And it's a basic, you know, repeat of what was said earlier. But this woman in verse 26 is said to, and I quote, "And she had suffered, and a certain woman, 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." And this is the woman that came in the press. And so there are physicians of no value. There are physicians that are good for nothing. And we ask ourselves today, well, who are the physicians in America trying to fix or cure or heal or help the country? And of course, you would immediately think that the ecclesia, or the church, or the pastors, or the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, teachers, the members of the body of Christ, every true believer in Jesus Christ, that we would be the physicians, right? That we would have the answers. Like Job's friends, we're looking at a crisis and, you know, we're trying to fix it. Well, many are trying to fix it. I don't think it's fixable, but we'll get into that in just a moment. And so there's all kinds of people offering all kinds of advice, acting like they know something. You see them on the evening news or the morning news every single day. And they come across as having a badge on their chest or a white robe. And they look like doctors. They look like physicians. But in reality, they're not saying anything to fix the nation, because you keep looking and you'll recognize that this sickness has been in this body called America for a very long time. And not only have we begun with a little cold back in the 1960s, but now we have tumors of cancer all over this body politic. And yet the people that are trying to fix it, they're not saying anything that's really fixing it. And unfortunately, you could turn the same television on, look at all the Christian television out there, and obviously they're not fixing it either by their smooth words, because they do not have a balanced message. And I'm just being honest. This is not a criticism. It's an observation that if the church that is now broadcasting on television, the internet, radio, all over the world and all over this country, if they were true physicians, if the church was acting as a true physician to the nation, well, we wouldn't be in the condition that we're in. So that's just an observation. And so I understand that fixing something begins with one life at a time, or fixing a nation, or fixing a problem. Well, I want to talk about it out of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah pretty well nails the issue, and we're just going to learn from what he said and what he was dealing with when he was dealing with the nation of Israel in his time. And we're going to take the view that the prophets, their message to nations are always the same. Covenants may have changed, but when nations act up like Israel was in its time, the message of the prophets remained true. And even in the New Testament, in the book of Peter, Peter says, we come to remind you of the words of the holy prophets, and the holy apostles. So he's talking about the Old Testament prophets and the New Covenant apostles had the same message, which was in the last days, many scoffers would come. And so there is an end time message in the Word of God. So what does it say in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4? I want to start there. And we read these words, "Ah, sinful nation." Well, there's the reason for the sickness right there. A nation that is sinful, and you'll see it in just a moment, will always become sick. So, ah, sinful nation. And I was looking at the word sinful, kata, and it just means a nation that has gone the wrong way, has incurred guilt, or forfeited its place of righteousness. Isn't that sad? Literally, those who have missed what is the right way. Wow. And so we have a nation that has missed the mark. We have a nation that has gone the wrong way. We have a nation of people that have missed it. And so Isaiah says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Laden with iniquity. Kavod. Massive. Listen to the Hebrew word for laden. It's again kavod. Massive. Abundant. Heavy. Dull. Burdensome. Very oppressive. I mean, laden. Heavy laden. With what? Heavy laden, or burdened heavily with iniquity. A seed, I'm going to rush forward here. A seed of evildoers. A nation, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. So what is Isaiah as a prophet analyzing here? What is his diagnosis of the nation of Israel? He's saying that this sinful nation, these people who are laden with iniquity, have become a seed of evildoers. They are children that are corruptors. And you look about all the corrupting influences from Hollywood into the swamp in Washington, D.C. And if I've said it, if the Washington, D.C. area is the swamp, then Hollywood is the abyss. And you look at the television programs, well, we know that we are a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors in every way possible, who have what? Forsaken the Lord. What is our country doing? Forsaking the true Lord, not the cosmetic Jesus that everybody wants to preach today to make you feel good, but they have forsaken the true Lord of glory that should be honored, respected, and feared and revered, and rather than honor, respected, and revered, have demanded that this God will bow down and tolerate and accept the way of man. You see, and that's a problem when you go there. So they have done what? They've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. That's exactly what has happened. And the result, in verse 5 again, Isaiah cries out, why should you be stricken anymore? Hello, anybody in America understand that what's been happening for such a long time in our country, particularly if you want to mark a starting point again, on 9/11/2001, is that we have been stricken one blow after another, one stripe after another since 9/11/2001. And I want you to notice it has never ceased. We have just lived in one of the most volatile months in the year 2018. October was filled with surprises, from hurricanes to all kinds of stuff. You know, we could talk about that later. And so Isaiah is asking the question, why will you be stricken? Because every stripe, every judgment, every blow that has come upon this nation was intended by God to turn the nation back to God. But Isaiah looks at the nation and says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. You will rebel. You keep turning your heart away from God. You're hardening your heart. You want nothing to do with the true God. Every thought about your imagination is about what you could do for you, what God can do for you, what God will make your life something. The last time I checked, the gospel is all about dying and not saving your life and giving your life to Jesus so that his life could be lived through us. And so we've made a genie out of Jesus. He's called the Jesus genie, that when you need him, you pull him out of your pocket and then you tell him to do something for you, because part of the methodology and all of the, what do they call that when you have a formula? So we have a Jesus that is designed to give us what we want, rather than a Jesus who we recognize died for us so that we can come to him and through him back to the Father and find the life that God wants us to have and be content with it. So here's the problem. When a nation, when people revolt, like our nation has revolted, the whole head is sick. Now, the word sick is pretty easy. It just means malady, anxiety. This is sickness. Anxiety, calamity, disease, grief. Okay? And so what is it that is filled with anxiety, malady, disease, and grief? Well, he says of the nation, the whole head. Now, that is the Rosh. That means the head, the top, the summit. You know, the place where the brain is, the place where the mind is, where decisions are made. So if the whole head is sick, what does this actually mean? Well, it's going to tell us. It says the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. And that word faint simply means that, sick. Sick of mind in the Hebrew. Sick of mind, and figuratively troubled. The heart is troubled. Remember what Jesus said in the last days. Many would grow cold and their hearts would fail them for what they see coming. Now, obviously, the forgers of lies and the physicians of no value that are good for nothing never ever want to intrude upon that sacred ground of a person's inward guilt, shame, condemnation. You never want to tell them that their sin has led them to that, so you have to prescribe to them some other methodology to make them feel good, even though they've never repented, okay? Even though they've never repented. So, because you don't want to shake someone's thinking, right? You don't want to hurt, you don't want to offend anybody. And this is where we've gone. So, he asked this question, and I want you to remember this. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness. Now, here's where we understand what this sickness is. The word soundness there is methome in the Hebrew. And what it means is wholesomeness or integrity. Wholesomeness or integrity. So what he's saying is that from the sole of the foot, even under the head, there's no wholesomeness in the body, in the nation. There's no integrity. And the word integrity is just the state of being whole and undivided. Now think about that. If the word integrity means the state of being whole and undivided, well, it also means moral uprightness and honest. So what Isaiah was diagnosing was the condition of a nation who had no wholeness, that it was divided in the mind, in the head, from the way they walked, from the sole of the feet, the way they walked, their walk with God, if you will. There was no moral uprightness left. There was no honesty left. Everybody was deceiving themselves and being deceived. They had fallen from the state of being whole as a nation and undivided. They became divided. They divided themselves from God. They divided themselves from one another. They divided themselves from truth. And so there was no integrity left. And what was the result of that? Listen to this. Not only was in verse 6, the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds. And the word wounds is patsa in the Hebrew, and it means to split or to cleave. So the wounds of our nation is the double-mindedness. You're seeing the split right now politically, the left and the right. You've seen the split in the church with 3,300 different denominations. People are confused about who's right and who's wrong. Well, I can't fellowship with them because they believe this, and they can't fellowship with you because you believe this. And so everybody gets into their little groups, and they think their group is the right group, and but you have this major split. And yes, there is a remnant, and there is truth, and the truth will set you free, and the revelation of the truth is how one walks before the Lord. But everybody feels this. It is a sickness, ladies and gentlemen. It is a real, genuine patsa, a split personality in America, a split in politics, a split in religion, a split. Everything is split, even under the individual who is double-minded. Double-minded. So not only is there no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises. The word bruises is kabura. Kabura, and it just means bound with stripes, a mark of strokes by means of spells to fascinate. How many people are fascinated with what's going on in the world today? Well, that fascination that the world has projected came from spells. And there are spells and spirits and mutterings that come through all of the different mechanisms into the mind of man in our nation, whether it's through television, radio, internet, whatever it is. But the people became fascinated with other things than God. You notice that the world today and our country today is not fascinated with the great things of God anymore. I remember a time in the church where we were fascinated with the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. We were fascinated with the Holy Spirit and the glory of Jesus Christ. We were fascinated by Him. Well, now, through spells of witchcraft, the nation has become fascinated with this, that, and the other thing, the Kardashians or the yachts or the boats or just whatever. People are fascinated by spells, and that is part of the problem within the nation. And not only was it filled with wounds and bruises, but putrefying sores. And this is what was telling. The word putrefying is tari, and it means moist, dripping, fresh, and new. What does that mean? Putrefying, fresh, new. In other words, the blows don't stop. The bleeding doesn't end. There's no stopping the bloodshed. And you just saw 11 people murdered in Pittsburgh. You've seen it. It's not ending. And that is what this putrefying is. And the word sores is makah. And it means this. Watch. The word makah is blows. So there's these dripping fresh new blows or carnage or pestilence or slaughter. And we just saw a slaughter again in the United States of America. We saw the slaughter in the Baptist Church in Texas. We saw slaughter in Las Vegas, Nevada. We saw slaughter in Parkland, Florida. And this is just in a relatively short span of time, within a year. And what is happening here is that the nation is filled with wounds, a split personality, a split mind, a double mind. It's filled with bruises, and it is, which is a deception, a fascination with things other than God. And they're for full of marks from the blows we've taken and these continually fresh new blows of carnage and slaughter. And, you know, this is very sad because in verse 6, it continues on, and Isaiah says, they have not been closed. In other words, all the attempts of the physicians to fix the problem, remember Parkland, Florida? All right, we need to have more security guards. We need more this. We need more military. Our country needs to protect the borders. You think any of this is really going to work? It hasn't worked. Because the answers that the physicians are coming up with are not the true answers. And it's amazing to me how many people in the church believe that the politicians have the answers. The military at the border is not the answer. You're going to see that it's not the answer. And you know how I know that? Listen to this. I continue on, they have not been closed, neither bound up, talking about these wounds and these bruises and these putrefying sores. They haven't been bound up, they haven't been closed, neither mollified with ointment or comforted or eased, you know, or healed with the ointment. Watch this now, verse 7. Your country, he's kind of prophesying this, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, listen now, strangers devour in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Well, we have a military force coming up from Honduras and Nicaragua and from these different places in Guatemala. So we have a force, a military power marching up to the borders, and we're sending 5,000 military troops to the border again because we want to close it up. We want to stop them at the border, right? Well, according to the word of God, the strangers are going to overthrow the land that has sinned against God. The global community has made its move against the United States of America. The United States of America is sick. We are a sick nation. The church in America is sick. And I got news for you. The church, the true biblical church, is not limited to American Christianity. You'll probably find a truer expression of the genuine church in other countries before you'll ever find it here. And if you happen to find it here, you've stepped into an environment that is so other different than what has been accepted, received, and tolerated, and people have watched it go on and on and on. Television for years and have never strayed away because all people really want is to feel good about themselves in spite of their unrepentant hearts. And we live in a nation that is supplying empty, vain words through the physicians of no value that have the ability to heal the heart and to heal the mind of an individual or a corporate ecclesia, the true meaning of the word church, or a nation. And Isaiah nailed it. And he said, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, illegal immigrants devour in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by the illegal immigrant invasion. So whatever happens at the border, whatever happens with all these physicians of no value advice? What's really happening? Let me just ask you, step back. You've heard all the talk. We're still murdering babies. We're still marrying homosexuals and lesbians, same-sex couples. We're still listening and watching, for those that do, blasphemy on the television screens. We're still being murdered. It's unending. And you've got to stop at some point and step back and say, wait a second. We've been listening to the physicians, politics, and government, and the news. Everybody's diagnosing, but they never really have any true answer because it's not ending. In Pittsburgh, it's bleeding. The president's going there to console the people, but the people don't want him there. And how absurd. You talk about a sick mind. How sick is it when two women get on Fox News or other news and say, we don't want President Trump in Pittsburgh until he renounces nationalism and white supremacy, because somehow he's the problem. He's responsible for what happened in Pittsburgh. Now, how sick is that when that same president brought the embassy to Jerusalem, who has a daughter that is Jewish, has grandchildren that are Jewish, has a relationship with Israel like no other president in the history of our country, it appears, at least in the last 50 to 60, has ever had a relationship or has done what he has done for Israel, and yet he's the blame. And Don Lemon and all the fruitcakes on CNN continue to tell about how hate is spreading from the right, that Donald Trump is spewing out hate. You know, when truth becomes hate to a people steeped in sin, that is a sickness. They're not aware of it. Their minds are gone. Don Lemon's mind is gone. He's a homosexual on CNN trying to tell people what the problem is, that the problem is President Trump and the people on the right, which is only fomenting an aggravation against people on the right, like you've seen in politics, when they're getting in people's faces at restaurants and this, that, and the other thing. So what you're beginning to see right now is the left and the right, and they're coming into the boxing ring, and they're jabbing, bam, bam, and they're throwing some hooks here and there. And first you have the pipe bomber going against CNN. He looks like a right-stream fanatic who's in love with Donald Trump. And then you have an anti-Semitic that is now in Pittsburgh, and he hates Donald Trump because he loves Israel too much. And so there's a punch and a punch. And so you're getting into a fist fight right here at home, which is a sure sign that Dmitry Duderman's prophecy, though it took a long time to arrive to its moment of destiny, seems to be fulfilled when he said that the nation would be caught up in an internal battle. And then from Nicaragua, then from Cuba, then from all these different places, external invasion would hit the country, including Iran and China, with their nuclear missiles. And they would destroy the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when you read Isaiah, that's exactly what it does say. That's exactly what it does say. And this is not good. So America is sick. So is the church. The question is, where are the true physicians? I want to read something. I want to just go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Man, this puts the chill bumps in you if you're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a pastor, you're listening to this radio broadcast right now, I need to pay attention. If you're any kind of a minister, listen to the condemnation through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. In verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. You know, the people that are called to lead the church, the body of Christ. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Listen what he says now. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth that they may not be meat for them. Now, it is an obvious reality to me and probably to you that when you think about the quote-unquote prosperity gospel, where we have men and women on television in ministry that are feeding the flock, they're feeding the flock with their words, but they're taking the fat. They are becoming wealthy millionaires, multi-millionaires, and they have not really fed the flock the true meat of the word, for if they had, the church would not be as sick as it is right now. Let's be honest with ourselves. If all the television evangelists and all the TV ministers were telling the flock the truth, we would not be divided and sick as we are as a corporate church. Okay? The true church does not revolve around television ministry. And we know that the television ministers are getting rich by telling the people what they really want to hear. So they're fleecing the flock of God. And the flock is being scattered, and they're being driven and tormented by demons, and they're being overcome by the powers of darkness. And I guarantee you that those TV evangelists are not at the door of the people that are suffering, you know, in the middle of the night, anointing them with oil and praying the prayer of faith over them. I guarantee you that if Mrs. Jones, who's been sending her money for 1,000 years to that TV ministry, goes down, well, there's nobody there to hold her hand and console her in her time of trouble. In other words, God is saying to the shepherds, your day of accountability is coming. And I remember a dream over 27 years ago that the major churches in America were shut down so bad, they were locked up, and the people in those mausoleums, those people in those church buildings were scattered, and they were not prepared for the force of power that was coming against their lives. They were terrified because they were not ready in the churches. They were not ready to stand. And God needs his people strong and healthy in spirit, soul, and body. And this is what the Lord needs. And so that only comes, by the way, through repentance, which is means an acknowledgement and a confession of our sinful condition. And man, if we don't have that anymore, then what do we have? What do we have? And on another note, let's look at Jeremiah. And by the way, God said in Ezekiel 34:16, I do want to read that. Well, I'll start in verse 14. I want to just go back to this because there's good news, because God is a good God when it comes to his flock. He says in 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So God is coming after his flock, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the great shepherd. And so the only true physician that could fix a nation or the church or an individual is the true physician, Jesus Christ. But you've got to be willing to do what he says. And there are people that are broken and sick and hurting because they do not obey the word of God. And so you cannot be held responsible for people that don't want to obey the word of God. If you're a preacher of righteousness or you're telling people the truth and they don't listen to what you say, your hands are clean. But if you're telling people what they want to hear and they never get healed, well, then the blood is on your hands. All right? That's the way it works. Now, when it comes to a nation, you go back to Jeremiah 51, and I know you've all heard this in verse 6, Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. What's going on here? We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed? Why? Because her judgment reaches to the heavens. This is an exact Revelation 18 message to the end time Babylon. And who is it that's pouring their wine to the nations of the earth? Who is the greatest nation on the face of the earth today? It's not Saudi Arabia. It just isn't. It's not Iraq. The greatest nation on the face of the earth that has exported the wine of fornication of all the abominations that are sent to the ends of the earth is America. The spirit of Babylon is in the United States of America, and she cannot be healed. Do you get it? America's not going to be healed. Punishment is what happens when someone is so sick and there is no healing. Why will America not be healed? Because it won't receive the great physician. Altogether, many people in this country proclaim to have relationship with the great physician. And you'll know that by the way their lives are being lived. If there are people that are walking in integrity and honesty and wholeness, that are not split in their mind or in their heart, if they're not double-minded and perverse in their spirit, if there's not a core of wickedness at work, if you've really come into contact with the true physician, you are healed and you are whole. And that would make you more of a candidate to be a true physician, a healer, a deliverer, a worker within the kingdom of God. And that means your voice needs to be heard. Your wisdom needs to be heard, which is the voice of God, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus Christ. You need to be on television. You need to be on radio. Your voice, your writings, your sermons need to be heard. If you have been healed, truly, genuinely healed by the great physician. Now, I know there's a grace to do the work that we've been called and anointed and appointed to do. While this healing is taking place, there's a grace to live above and beyond the brokenness, but that is not intended to remain that way. If Jesus Christ has not healed the individual who believes in the great physician, well, how can we boast that the politicians or the people that are in power who have not yet been healed themselves have the answers to heal this country? Think about it. I believe Job said it best when he said, forgers of lies, all are physicians, good for nothing. I mean, those three men that were talking to Job, you read that book of Job. I spent quality time in it. You read that book, man, they had some of the smartest things. They sounded so brilliant. But only for Job to turn around and say to them, you're forgers of lies and you're physicians of no value. I mean, Job knew it. He knew that what they were saying was not the right answer. And they blamed him for this, that, and the other thing. They said this, that, and the other thing to him. Well, we've got about 11 minutes left in the broadcast. If you are interested in calling in today and sharing your thoughts, the number to call is 818-369-0326. Once again, 818-369-0326. This is our first day on the air for about, I guess it's been close to 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. We're glad to be back on the air. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure you press 1 on your dial pad, and let's talk. Can America be healed? Can the church be healed? Can you or I be healed? What's the requirement? How do we heal a nation? How do we heal the church within a nation? How do we heal the individual? Isaiah looked at the condition of his day and said, it can't be healed. And so the answer was their destruction. Do you think it's serious enough yet to pay attention? 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Let's take our first call today coming in from, looks like, South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, welcome back.
Hello there.
I was just, it's Kathy and Ken out here on the prairie.
Hello, Kathy and Ken. Good to hear your voices. How are you today?
Yeah, good. No snow yet here, so praise the Lord. But all the leaves are off the tree. And, yeah, it's good to hear your broadcast again. And I was just shooting an email to your wife, Patricia, and telling her that we'll be glad to hear you guys. We missed it, not hearing your broadcast on a daily basis, you know, when you were gone. But anyway, we've had a lot of things happening, and I know Hawaii's beautiful. We've been there. We were on the Big Island on our 25th wedding anniversary, which is quite a few years ago. But, you know, when we come, every time we would travel and we'd come back, you know, to even when we've been in other countries and stuff, we were really happy to get back to America. But like you were bringing out today, it's not, America is not the same what it used to be, and you sense it right away when you're out and about.
Yeah, it seems that, you know, the only place of peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if our hearts are in Him, and then our homes, and then our churches, I mean, there is this ark, if you will, and that's what Noah had, was an ark. The rest of the world was being destroyed. And so Jesus is that ark, but there's a Jesus that's being preached, Kathy, that is not providing the healing that people are looking for. And we have to step back and admit this. I mean, if you ever met the genuine Jesus of Scripture, there's no way you could remain sick, broke, busted, and disgusted, right?
Yes, that's true. And there's a lot of, you know, pain, death, and sorrow in the earth. And it was in other countries as well when we would travel. But, you know, to get away from that, yes, in that secret place in the Most High. And, you know, I learned something from a gentleman that was here in our home just recently. And he was talking about how he walked, you know, and lived in the Spirit when God was having him on a commission that he was supposed to do in Vietnam. And I thought, that's where God's trying to take the bride, the chosen people of God. We're going to learn that way to be obedient to that voice of God in every facet of our life. And that's the secret place and the ark. I suppose wherever you're at, whatever country, whatever state in our United States, but there is a place, and God is trying to bring us. And if we're obedient, we will attain to it.
Amen. Amen. And Kathy, as we're talking about this, out of the blaze came this little news clip that migrants are declining refugee status offer from Mexican authorities. So the migrant caravan that began in Honduras continues to make its way toward the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, how ominous is this? Think about this. Here is a migrant caravan that began in Honduras, and it's continuing to make its way toward the U.S.-Mexico border, where 5,000 military troops have just been deployed to. Authorities in Mexico have offered jobs, education, and medical care to members of the caravan, but the migrants declined the offer, insisting that they are going to continue north to the United States. You put that together with Isaiah chapter 1, and you just begin to sit back and think, what's happening? Why is the president deploying 5,000, not National Guard, but military personnel to the border? And then the left is screaming, hate, hate, hate. Wow. There's a lot ready to release in the month of November, obviously. October has been so turmoilous. Go ahead.
There's no stopping this, Vincent. God's word is going to be fulfilled. The storm is on us. We must just go on and endure to the end.
The storm is on us. Boy, you just registered something big in my spirit about the storm of violence that would hit the shores of America. A prophetic word. Wow. That just quickened something right there in my spirit. Some things that were once said about this storm of violence that is coming. And it is. And it's coming to destroy. And it's only because a nation refuses the great physician that has the answer to bring healing to the country. Isn't that so sad?
That's
Isn't
true.
That so
God bless you. God bless you. Keep speaking
Thank you.
The truth.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, Kathy. All right, folks, that's going to be it for today. I don't believe we have another call coming in. I want to thank everybody and appreciate you tuning in today. Your thoughts, you know, you have to be the judge. And what you do with the information that we are giving to you, we hope that in some manner this has been life and light and truth and wisdom and spiritual knowledge from the Word of God. Thank God that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost. You and I can be healed completely if we will look to him, receive his message in totality, in the center of our hearts, and as healed ones, we can begin to share a true message. What's it going to take? Again, I believe in 2003, the Holy Spirit said it best. America has crossed the point of no return. And the only thing that one could do in this environment is prepare for what the Word of God says is very clearly going to come to pass. It's happening before our eyes. The sores keep bleeding. There's no healing balm. Wounds and bruises throughout this entire country. Mental facilities, rehabs, prisons, hospitals, and people that are taking guns and walking into synagogues, churches, schools, slaughtering, mass murdering people, concerts. It's not ending. And you have a sense with these two great powers throwing punches that it's going to turn into something more than just a fist. And there are some people watching this inner fight that are ready to make their move. That's it for me. I've got to move on. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You've been listening to The Watchman right here on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. Up next is Patricia Joy Xavier. Trust you're going to have a great day. Stand by, and Patricia will be right with you. Shalom.
Well, hello. It's been some time, and it is so good to be back on the air. God bless you all in all. We had a wonderful, wonderful time on our vacation, but we did miss the church, the body of Christ. It's been an incredible situation going on, however, while we were there listening to the things that have come forth in this world. It looks like the throng of Central American migrants advancing toward the U.S. border in southern Mexico has now swelled to over 7,000 people as they defy the efforts of four governments to break them up. And who's behind this? The UN. Tell me, what are they doing and why? Thousands of mostly Honduran migrants rose at dawn on Sunday of last 2 weeks ago from the shores of a river between Guatemala and Mexico and continued their trek northward. Overwhelming Mexican government attempts to stop them at the border. The numbers are swelling and set out walking toward the Mexican town of Tapachula. And there are hundreds more applying for refugee status in Mexico, and an estimation of 1,500 are still on the Guatemalan side of the Xucayat River hoping to enter legally. Well, that's into Mexico. And it came as President Donald Trump fired a tweet on Sunday afternoon saying full efforts are being made to stop the onslaught of illegal aliens from crossing our southern border. People have to apply for asylum in Mexico first, and if they fail to do that, the U.S. will turn them away. The courts are asking the U.S. to do things that are not doable. What's going on? Why is this happening? As I hear the various things that have been coming forth in the last couple of weeks as we have been vacationing, it seems as though it has been an explosion of absolute defiance. And I thought about the caravan of the migrants that are swelling and coming forth trying to reach our borders, and very close as they continue on, I thought about something that perhaps has an answer in the book of Revelation 12. It's called The Woman, the Child, and the Dragon. Now let's think about this. In 12 of Revelation, it says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Now what happened? Satan was thrown out of heaven, and a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Folks, yes, he does. He has a short time. Who is this dragon in the Word of God? Well, we know that the dragon is Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, as well as his cohorts of demons and any other principalities and powers that exist in the kingdom of darkness. And who is the woman? I believe the woman is humanity and represents all human beings. She is a picture of Eve, the mother of all the living, who Satan tried to destroy. She is also a picture of the Israelites, who Satan tried to destroy. She is a picture of Mary, the mother of Christ, who Satan tried to kill before he reached the age of two. She also represents the new birth in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit and those people who have been born again, who Satan has tried to destroy. The remnant is Christians. They are the seed that keep the commandments of God and hold to their testimony about Jesus. These are the people of the kingdom of God on earth. These are the people who wage war against the dragon, who worship God alone, who follow Christ, who reject all evil, who wage war against the sinful flesh. These people are those who will live and die for Jesus and the gospel. Is it you and I? And even at the threat of death or beheading or persecution or sacrifice, cross just as he did, and not denounce him as their Lord and Savior, they will proclaim Jesus is Lord no matter what. But in Revelation 12:11, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Let me ask you this question. Is this dragon what we're seeing right now in this Western Hemisphere coming against the United States of America? Let's question this somewhat, because I feel it just may be. The woman that is in the book of Revelation, she's persecuted. And now the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he may cause her to be carried away by the flood. Could that flood be the immigrants that are coming over to the United States of America to try to flood this nation and bring destruction to it? We have to remember that most of them are males, young, strong males, and multitudes of them will be carrying diseases from the areas in which they're in. To overcome all that is possible to overcome on this earth. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened his mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. Is it the dragon spewing out of his mouth all the illegals come into this country or already have come into this country? Is this the flood? Is that a possibility that is talked about in the book of Revelation 12? And it says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keeps the commandments of God and has the testimony of Jesus Christ. As this flood enters into United States of America, it is going to come to bring destruction, to bring votes to an unholy situation of the left so that they can take control again of this nation, to bring sickness and disease, also to bring strength in young men's blood who want to war, and to bring a fear against this country so that it may be dominated by all that is flooding into this nation, and the new regime rises up, the new world order within this nation, and the rest of the countries of the world join in. And there it is. We have been made subservient. But in the scripture in Revelation 12, we are not. We are kept for a time, and a time and a half. And now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Is that what we're looking at? Satan's been thrown out of heaven. The war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And the UN is at hand in this. And Satan was cast to the earth. Angels were cast out with them. Interesting, because a fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Who are they? Who are these powers, these 7 heads? It appears as though they're being drawn out from the nations of this world to flood the United States of America. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now the earth is getting a flood. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. We are being caught up to God and his throne by the power of the Holy Spirit through wisdom and knowledge and the overcoming victory that he has given to us. But a year ago, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor, in pain, to give birth. Who's that birth being given to? the children of God at this time. We saw this absolute knowledge and omen in heaven that this took place 1 year ago in November. We're entering into November again. We are in a position for the woman to be brought into the wilderness and being kept there for a time, and time and a half. She's being kept safe, and she has children. The church has children who have become the overcoming power of God. Now, we have to understand that this is the kind of spiritual warfare we are in. So, church, please hear me when I say this. We have to know how Satan works. We have to understand the wiles of the devil. And the devils are the spiritual enemies of the body of Christ. And it is our responsibility to deal with them. We cannot run from them. As you see, they're coming in a flood. Remember what is written in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And as the Holy Spirit said through Paul in Ephesians, the way we wage this warfare is through the Spirit. We overcome the flood that Satan spews out of his mouth to destroy the church and her children. Our job is to learn how to wage the war and fight the good fight, as Paul instructed Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7. We also have to remember that a devil oppressing a believer is an illegal trespasser, and he is an alien taking residence by unlawful means. When we begin to understand this, we begin to know that we are the woman. We begin to understand that we have the power and the authority, and we begin to understand that we are being kept by the power of God for time, and time and a half. We have been purchased with the dear price that Christ paid on the cross by the shedding of his blood. And it is up to us now to demand our rights, because Jesus Christ paid the price. But the flood has come. I believe it has begun. And I believe that witness of his coming as a flood has a lot to do with the march toward the United States of America. Illegal immigrants placed there by whom? The United States. Nations, we know that now. We have arrived, body of Christ, and we have to understand what this warfare is all about if we are truly to become the overcoming. We have to understand that a devil cannot reside within a Christian if that Christian knows his rights and commands the alien to depart from his property in the name of Jesus. And we could command the aliens coming in to depart from our property also in the name of Jesus, not only personally, but in general, with the body united together, speaking and determined to understand their legal rights. We must learn to have faith in our authority, our legal rights. We must do it now. And it has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And we must have faith to believe in the power of his name. if we are going to fight this warfare and not be totally destroyed by the dragon. The Lord said that we must be diligent to keep ourselves holy and righteous, or he'll take our crown from us. We're in that time. We're going to start making choices either to become victorious in Christ, overcoming the devil in our lives and in the world, as he already had made possible for us to do so, or we're going to be swallowed up by this dragon, individually and as a people of God. The time has arrived to make a choice of what we're going to do and how we're going to prepare. This is the way of preparation spiritually, by understanding warfare and understanding the deception of the evil one. And it's also the same with preparation in the physical realm of being healthy, understanding all what is necessary to keep on hand when it can no longer be purchased. People will want what they can get, but it will continue until the coming of the Lord. This is the woman in the wilderness prepared by her Lord. We have to begin to realize that the devil will consider the body of a person his house, his earthly home, and he considers the world his. He has been given the world at the fall of Adam and Eve. So he has that thought in mind. And if he is allowed in you, and as a Christian, we don't cast him out, we have to remember that we'll be in a place of deception ourselves and will not know the difference between right and wrong, because darkness will come upon us. But we have been given grace by believing in Jesus Christ and his salvation. We have been given grace to overcome the evil one. We have been given salvation to overcome the evil one and to rule and reign with our Lord now and into eternity. And especially as we see it approaching in the millennium. And we have to remember that these devils will wander through dry places after they have been cast out, if we do the work God has called us to do. And they will seek whom they can to enter into, because that's how they do their dirty work. Through people. Through individuals. And if they find an unsuspecting and uninformed Christian with a door left open through sin, they will enter in and have you too. They already have the world and the people thereof that have never given their life over to Christ, because they're in darkness. They're being deceived. They don't know any better, but supposedly we do as Christians. And that's what the flood is all about. It's not just taking over the United States of America. It's ruling its desire to have the world. And the UN is involved in this heretical situation. And we have to understand that Christians have the truth, ability to fight and to become the people of God they've been called to be. And the power has been granted unto us according to Scripture. Now, there is 30, 60, and 100-fold realization of these things according to the word which is in us. But when are we going to begin to rise up and begin to speak? You have to remember that devils wander through dry places after they have been cast out, seeking whom they can enter into. And if they can find an unsuspecting, uninformed Christian with a door left open through sin, they will enter in. Sin, hear it? Sin. And what are we seeing in the earth right now? What is the flood coming into the United States? Destruction. The wages of sin is death. Jesus said in Matthew 12:43-45, when an unclean spirit, the devil is the unclean spirit, goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. And then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes unoccupied, not filled with the Holy Spirit and not informed of its legal rights, swept clean and put in order, which means religious but ignorant of the word, then it, the devil, goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And Jesus finishes by reminding us that is the way it will also be with this evil generation. We are the evil generation that has been prophesied from the very ongo that this is going to happen. We're that generation. And it's been by the prophets of old in the Old Testament into the New Testament over and over again being spoken that there will be that generation. Now I'm discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which I've written some time ago because I understood by the Spirit of God that we had to rise up as a church for that which was ready to come. And the reason I was given this understanding is, I believe, for preparation. I would like you to buy and purchase Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. All you have to do is go to Amazon and type in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and it'll come up and you can purchase it at Amazon. Or if you are willing and desiring to help this ministry out, Omega Radio is doing an incredible work all over the world to inform people of their rights in Christ and the truth of what's going on in this world through prophetic utterances and through the Word of God, then help us. Send a gift to Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722, to Pastor Vincent Xavier. And we will be blessed by that very much to continue in the work God has given us to do. And we would love to bless you with the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that will continue to help you through these times we're in. Understand the work of the evil one, not only in the earth today, that has had its ability to devour multitudes of people, but also a Christian, if it has its way, the devil, that is. The flood has come. Please hear my cry to you and help us, and we want to bless you also. And so I thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. And may God give you divine wisdom and guidance and direction for this day. For this is the day we have. We don't have yesterday, body of Christ. It is gone. But we have today. Ask God to direct your footsteps by the Holy Spirit perfectly. And He will honor your request. We need this so very much. And it is imperative, not just a good thought, but imperative that we do this if we are going to continue to war against evil, sickness, disease, the devil, the earth, the world, and the flesh. We are able to because our Lord Jesus Christ has already overcome and he has given us his Holy Spirit to overcome also. Join us in this manner and this way to be the army of the living God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.